Please be seated. Christmas is now several weeks in the past, and our decorations that we have for Advent and Christmas have been packed, put away until December of this year. That's this year now. But until several months from now, we'll be putting them back up again. And this is the time we reflect over our Christmas gifts and that fact that not every gift is probably delivered like we thought that it would. I think back to childhood and the Sears catalog and the Christmas section, the toy section of the Christmas catalog from Sears. Okay, and we all, pretty much everybody, I'll tell you about it later, but the rest of us here would remember the joy of looking at that and circling what you wanted Santa Claus to bring. And a sense that if I had this item, I will just be so happy. I will never want another toy again. A few weeks, at least for me, a few weeks later, would feel empty. Now, I enjoyed what I got. I loved Marvel the Mustang. He's almost for real. And the Fun Tunnel, I can still see those items from Christmas 67, first one of my memory. And the joy, and I enjoyed, and I would enjoy gifts, the big wheel, the hippity hops, all of those toys. I remember enjoying them, but knowing there was still a gap inside of me. They had not met that expectation. Maybe you all have had later in life the experience of a car, a new car, or a new for you car with low mileage. Or a motorcycle. Maybe at this particular motorcycle, that'll make me happy. I hope it has. But anyway, of some adult toy like that. Something new to wear, a Jeep. And it only goes so far, or you're still left empty. We have the modern phenomena. It's actually not a modern phenomena, but the phenomena of the shopaholic. The one who, if I could just buy this, it will fill that need. Once saw on TV, financial management episode, and the guru was going through the house. Family had five white turtlenecks still in the wrapper. Didn't even know they had that many. And the whole sense that, and again, the whole part you were buying, this will fill, but you've got five. You've not even worn one of them. You keep going by, not even remembering, oh, I've already bought one, going again. Think of the clothes never worn or only worn once. The golf clubs, which collect dust. The powerboat, which remains in the garage, or even if used, seem to be more of a drain than a joy. Things either give no joy or not what is expected. For the next 2 weeks, we will be looking at a next set of messages in Ecclesiastes. Think of it as a series of essays or devotions or sermons or reflections. I think of it as books that I have seen. I think of a man who's gotten away, and maybe he's on a fishing trip with friends, but it's the time that they're not fishing. It's not a good time to fish, and has gone off to a certain side of the cabin, maybe looking out to reflect. That's your cover. It's not the Holy Land this week. It's Arkansas on the cover. But I think of being in a place where he's just writing and reflecting over life. Some have read The Gift from the Sea Anne Morrow Lindbergh, writing that actually at a very undeveloped beach in Florida, Captiva Island, in the 1950s. A series of essays reflecting on life. And here he is asking questions. He is, again, the person has had a lot and knows his faith, but is left wondering. He is at a certain age, and the illustration I've given before that in the wisdom literature, you've got Proverbs over here. Do this, and it, X will happen. Don't do this, and you avoid Z. And agree, yes, like I said, never take crack cocaine, you'll never be a crack addict, okay? Some things are very simple. But then you got over here Job, the guy who lived the Proverbs life, and think this is not working. Why, Lord? And then you've got Ecclesiastes in the middle, someone who knows the Proverbs. And one person once compared the Proverbs to a younger person, but thinking of a certain age, that I've seen life, seen certain things, and yes, I won't say it doesn't work, but life can throw you curveballs. Sometimes we've thrown them at ourselves. So think of it in light of that. And in this section, he speaks about possessions. This is from a larger section. We just have a few verses here. The caution about making possessions gods in your life. Looking at a thing to fill the vacuum in your heart. There's a God-shaped vacuum in our heart. And basically saying, as an application, don't look to that new car or new for you car to fill the vacuum that only Christ can fill. Now, clear, looking at these sections, it's clear that enjoy what you have for what it is. In fact, right before this, he talks about enjoying life, making the most of what you have. So clear, enjoy it. There's nothing wrong with enjoying your thing. Remember it though, it's the icing, not the cake. So possessions cannot fill that gap. They can be enjoyed, but they're not the source of joy. And then suggesting application from this is discipline. The tone here, it's not anti-money, it's not anti-things. But it is a sense of they will not fill that hole. Only God can. They're not, I guess, a product, something you can enjoy, but not the path to joy. Christian thinkers have wrestled with this over the years, and one sense of being suggested is that, again, it's a gift, enjoy the gift, but also a sense of discipline. That knowing you might need to, you and your walk, might need to let go for a season or longer term. Maybe that fancy car, to stick with that analogy, is not what you need. You need something simpler. It would help out your budget a lot. But again, not anti-car, but saying, I need to be disciplined. Lord, is this what I need? I reflected on that, and I thought of a fellow who had a ministry as a ventriloquist. Some of a side thing that he did. He was really good. He had this character as a ventriloquist dummy. And he could even do these evangelistic presentations. If you got the dummy saying things, you can say all kinds of things, as you know from comedy skits, if it's the ventriloquist, the dummy. And he was really good at that. And he had a bit of comedy to throw in. But at one point he said, have I gotten so caught up in my act that it's become like a god in my life? And so just said, for right now, I think Aunt Tilly was the character, for right now, I have to put Aunt Tilly in the box. Not against what he was doing, and not saying, I might, the Lord directs, I'll pick back up again. But I have to say, Lord, if this has become a barrier in my walk with you, then I need to lay it down. Some years ago, one of the contemporary Christian singers had felt since that he had gotten so caught up in presenting the music, presenting the act, and kind of lost sight of, am I really, where is my walk with Christ? Like is it more about the applause that I'm getting versus what it's presenting and ministering to people? And so he continued to sing, but he said, I need to tone down some of the extras of my act to make it more about the music that's going on and not the extras. Be careful of making your possessions gods, enjoying it for what it is, and have that discipline, seeking the Lord in the discipline about what you have. Do I need to simplify or redirect? Jesus spoke of the man who, I've got so much, what do? I'm going to get more. But that night, he had to give account truly of what he had. The reminder that only Jesus Christ can fill that deep need, that we begin being in that right relationship with God. You may have heard the line that I put my ladder, to climb the ladder of success, but realized when I got to the top, I had leaned against the wrong building. A reminder here, in what have you invested? As we put our affairs in order for this coming year, it's good to start with a little soul check. And as we look at our year and our goals and our hopes and our dreams, to keep them submitted to Christ, knowing that in the end, only He can fill that need. Amen.